What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It's Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Chris Carlin in for the fellas today. Of course, on the ESPN app as well, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, play ESPN Radio. As always, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Still to come, or very much to come, I should say, the Yankees, their problems as they get thoroughly exposed over the weekend and where they might be headed as the road does not look like a smooth one to the postseason at this point. One of the all-time greats in Joey Chestnut just continues to get it done, but what's left? What's left? And the NBA Finals. We will be joined by Quentin Richardson later in the show to break it all down and also get into the Olympics as well, and if it's really worth it at this point for players for the U.S. team in particular. But we begin with the NBA Finals and the fact that Chris Paul has gotten the Phoenix Suns back to the postseason and deep into the postseason, into the finals, for the first time in 11 years with a 51-win season. Remarkable, absolutely remarkable achievement. But when you look at how he got here and what the Phoenix Suns may be facing as a heavy, heavy favorite, if they were to ever lose this series, it may do more damage to Chris Paul's legacy than it would do, let's just say, positive things toward his legacy. Change it in a good way. How so? Well, it's easy to look at this and understand that they have gotten here by beating teams that didn't have their superstars with them. So what does that mean? I mean, you didn't have Anthony Davis for the Lakers. You didn't have Jamal Murray for the Nuggets. You didn't have Kawhi Leonard for the Clippers. And potentially, we're not going to see Giannis Antetokounmpo for the Bucks. And if that's the case, and it certainly feels like it's going to be the case in at least a couple of the games, if they were to lose this series, think about what people would say about Chris Paul at that point. Then he's one of the greatest players, if not the greatest player, to never win a championship. He's right there on that level. Last week, Richard Jefferson weighed in on the Max Kellerman Show.
If we're doing the whole legacy talk in this, I think truly he's got to win it in order to surpass and to move up the ranks. Getting there is awesome. Would I put him above John Stockton? Would I put him above Jason Kidd? No, but we're talking about Chris Paul being in the same conversation as John Stockton, Jason Kidd, Isaiah Thomas, Magic Johnson. That's amazing. But I think winning a championship, winning multiple championships, is really what gets you in there. But we all know that his skill level and his ability is on par with the great point guards of all time.
And this is some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Of course it is. But if you don't win one, especially when it's set up so beautifully for you to do it, doesn't it impact you negatively more than actually getting a ring would help your legacy? People already know how great of a player Chris Paul is. But I said this earlier, filling in for Greeny, he has almost become the NBA player version of Marty Schottenheimer. He's instantly going to make you better. He's instantly potentially going to take you to being a playoff team. But does he take you to being a champion? That's the ultimate question. Now, I think it's pretty fair to say that if Giannis plays in this series, then you will not look at him any differently. But if you don't have Giannis in this series, it's hard not to consider that he is going to get hurt by that. Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday taking care of you when you've got the likes of Devin Booker, who's right on the brink of becoming a superstar in the league. if he hasn't already, to becoming a to DeAndre Ayton, to Jay Crowder, to these guys who are really, really good players, and you're taking them as deep as you have already. God, it speaks to how terrific you are. But is there an asterisk here for a champion? It's a reasonably fair question. It might be a little bit more on the side of just bad luck for a team that is excellent, like I think the Suns truly are, an excellent basketball team, championship caliber basketball team. Yet, will people look at this a little bit differently? Well, certainly Phoenix Suns fans won't. But is there an asterisk if they're to win a championship? Here's Nick Friedel, ESPN NBA reporter, on game day this weekend.
Either Milwaukee or Phoenix are going to win. We're going to view them as the champs, and that's it. You don't look back. Whoever wins this won it fair and square and outright, given the circumstances and the legacy of what kind of season this was. That can be debated at a later date. Whoever wins this title is going to remember it and should be given all the plaudits that come their way. And, we see this sometimes in a lockout shortened year. We see this when bigger stars go down. That all kind of fades away over time. Whoever wins this is the champs, and they've got to be respected as such.
Well, the last part of what he said is going to be true. This will be a championship that all of those circumstances that you could consider mitigating are actually going to fade away more over time. People will not pay attention to that. Over the next couple of years, when those arguments are going to be had amongst friends in the barbershop and other places, you're going to absolutely take all of this into account. There will be discussions. Yeah, but. There will be a yeah, but with all of this. You understand that that's the case. But at the same time, those rings are going to be there for the long term. And when Chris Paul's at his Hall of Fame induction speech and he's getting presented, nobody's going to say, yeah, but in the middle of the speech, Anthony Davis didn't play for the Lakers that year and Jamal Murray didn't play for the Nuggets, and Kawhi wasn't on the Clippers, or Kawhi wasn't healthy on the Clippers. Nobody's going to look at that any differently. Now, what is interesting to me, because people naturally don't like Chris Paul, because there seems to be among fans, not a disrespect, but an annoyance by the kind of player that Chris Paul is, unless he's on your team, who are they going to root for more in these playoffs? I have to tell you, just seeing that impact that Paul has had and seeing what he has meant to these Phoenix Suns in getting them to where he has, and the attitude with which he plays, even talking smack as they're running away with it at the end of the Clippers series, I love it. I love it. And I'm going to root for him a whole lot more. We had Andre Snelling's on last hour on Greeny, and we were discussing whether or not this had actually hurt Giannis more this postseason, the way he's played. And he hasn't played poorly, but he hasn't been necessarily what you would expect a two-time MVP to be, the guy that is demanding the ball down the stretch of games. It seems as if at times the Milwaukee Bucks would rather have the ball in the hands of Chris Middleton. And that's amazing. But yet it's 100% true. They would rather have the ball in his hands. And that is saying something about somebody that is a true superstar in the league. And as we said, a two-time MVP. That's absolutely nuts that it's the case. But it is. Myself, I have been unimpressed would be a word. I would say I don't have a more negative view of Giannis, but it's not one that has taken that next step. They talk about the postseason being where stars are truly made. I have not looked at this postseason and thought Giannis has truly made himself into that superstar. I've looked at it more as if, well, Giannis is not quite the guy that I thought he was all the way around. So I think people will be rooting for Giannis more because he's more likable. He's got the smile. He's got the more affable personality. And people don't necessarily love who Chris Paul is as a player. And please tell me if I'm wrong. At 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Who will you root for more in this postseason, Chris Paul or Giannis? Myself, I'm rooting more for Chris Paul. I kind of dig the fact that he has that little edge to him and he hasn't been able to get a team over the top, and now he very well may do it. This has been Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. We shift to the Yankees, who over the weekend had a rough go. Now, they did salvage the finale of the three-game series with the Mets with a win on Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN. But nonetheless, after losing on Saturday and losing earlier in the day on Sunday, Saturday they got pounded. Sunday, they were in a position to win the game with a 5-4 lead and their closer on the mound, and it didn't happen. Once again, Aroldis Chapman was absolutely all over the place, and his ERA over his last 9 appearances is now north of 22. And the opposition is hitting at a robust 483 against him. That coincides with when baseball was cracking down on spider tack and on all illegal substances used to grip the ball. We've seen Gerrit Cole struggle some more. He left pitches up yesterday and didn't make it out of the fourth inning. And now we saw that from Chapman later on, even though he had the lead. So with all of these struggles, what does that mean for moving Chapman out of the closer's role? Here's Aaron Boone.
I'll consider a number of things. You know, Green, Lowe, Chapman, you know, those will be conversations that we have, you know, but we may not have that option Tuesday with, you know, if Greeny and Lowe are, you know, could be down. So we'll have those conversations and try and do what's best for the team and for those individuals.
Allow me to translate that for you. Chapman has lost the closer's job for the moment, and justifiably so, because they have to figure out what is wrong with him, because he has been completely lost of late. Gerrit Cole struggles, we talked about, not nearly as bad, but not getting out of the fourth inning yesterday, not why the Yankees paid him $324 million by any stretch of the imagination. And then there are other circumstances around this team. Looking at, let's say, the fact that they continue to not hit with runners in scoring position, that their analytics that they have put so much into, they have not translated into delivering enough runs. The Yankees are in, what, the bottom 5 or 6 in runs scored in baseball, yet they're in the top 5 or 6 when it comes to home runs. More than 2/3 of their home runs have been solos this year. That's unreal. Think about the teams, when they stress analytics as much as they do, that have been the best at it. The Houston Astros have been the best at it over the years. You know, the Yankees strike out a ton. The Astros don't. Yankees have done everything they can to become the team that the Astros are. And they don't seem worried about strikeouts. They tend to, it's amazing, devalue them when it comes to hitters, but maybe overvalue them when it comes to pitchers. And so you have a team that has been constructed on this theory, but it's not really translating. the Astros have struck out less than anybody else in baseball, yet they do everything else analytically well. Making contact is such a vital part of it. And you could even go a little bit farther and say, well, what about the Rays? The Rays have been a really, really good team when it comes to, you know, analytics and employing that as well as they can, but at the same time, putting themselves in a position where they strike out a lot, and it's not seeming to affect them. It's amazing that the Yankees have themselves in this position where they continue to hit poorly with runners in scoring position, one of the worst in the league, and your team is supposed to be built around analytics, and you haven't taken anything else into account. Righties, they have a ton of righties. Righty-lefties, what do the Rays do well? They balance their lineup. The Astros have a relatively balanced lineup. It's really all adding up to a big question for a team with a $200-plus million payroll. Are they worth saving at this point? When you're doing so many things poorly, and you're a game over 500, and you're 10 games out in the division, and you're 5.5 out of the wild card, are they truly worth saving when they have six teams in front of them in the wild card? I think the answer is a strong no right now. Before the break, they've got this trip out west to take on Seattle, and then they go to Houston. And right after the break, 8 out of 10 against the Boston Red Sox, and also the Rays are in there as well. And that takes you to July 25th. And so you could wake up and decide it's time to sell and not time to buy, because, frankly, throwing more money at this problem is not going to fix it. This is a bad, bad problem that the sports premier franchise has right now. Aaron Boone understands that this trip is going to determine everything.
I think we understand what's at stake, and I think we understand what the hole we've dug for ourselves, and we understand the importance of every game, and, you know, we got to go play well. We understand that. We've talked about it a lot, so we're going out west with a lot on the line.
An awful lot on the line. The entire season, potentially his job, potentially that of Brian Cashman. Because when it's a 23-year stretch and you have not been able to get over the hump in the last 12, you have to start looking at it differently than as if, well, he's been here the longest and he's done a terrific job. Yeah, we get that. He has been here a long, long time. They also haven't been back to the World Series since 2009. Somewhere along the way, the bar changed from winning championships to getting to the postseason and hoping for the best. That's not supposed to be where it is for the Yankees. And they were the first ones to tell us that. Now, you look at what they do, and you hope that they can somehow find their way back into a race, but it does not look like they're capable of doing that at all. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It's Chris Carlin in for Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. As always, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. We have so much to do over the next few hours. In moments, we are talking baseball. So what does that mean? We have to bring in the foremost expert on what the Yankees can do and what the rest of the league looks like as the trade deadline approaches at the end of the month. For that, Buster Olney joins us next. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
I'll tell you later, we have to discuss Joey Chestnut and what mountains there are left to climb. I was just watching the video of Eric Badlands Booker in the lemonade chug contest, and you see Joey Chestnut just looking on with pure admiration for what's going on. With Bounty Towels as his sponsor on his shirt, appropriately so, I might add. It is Bart and Han on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. It's Chris Carlin in for the fellas today, hoping you had an absolutely awesome 4th of July earlier. Our own Buster Olney joined us to talk about everything going on with the Yankees and how they have gotten to this ugly, ugly point. And I asked Buster if the next 10 to 12 game stretch is essentially going to determine the Yankees season.
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, when you look at the schedule ahead of them, you know, they play Seattle for 3 games, and the Mariners have been playing well lately and have actually passed the Yankees in the American League standings. Then they play the Astros, and then 8 of their first 10 games out of the All-Star break are against the Boston Red Sox, a team they haven't beaten yet this year. And so while, you know, Hal Steinbrenner said last week in speaking with reporters that has no thought at all about being sellers, we might get to the morning of July 26th, that Monday after the second Red Sox series, and there'd be no question that they would be sellers. I mean, when you look at their deficit of 10 games right now, there's only been one time in their entire history when they've overcome that to win a division or league, and that was in 1978. So they've run out of, you know, as I said on the broadcast last night, they've run out of lifelines.
Buster, when being around them this weekend, what's your biggest takeaway as their biggest problem? What has been the biggest hindrance to their success?
Well, I think it's so multifaceted, it's remarkable. I mean, they actually, you know, since the sticky stuff began to go away and that crackdown happened, they've been better offensively. And it's interesting, but in talking with executives around baseball, they do feel like that there's some hitters who fit the profile of guys who would get better after that happened, Gary Sanchez being one of those. But the offense has gotten better. But here's the problem. Since the sticky stuff crackdown, their bullpen has gotten worse, and in particular, it's Aroldis Chapman. I mean, I have no idea the next time the Yankees have a save situation what they're going to do with Chapman. In his first 23 innings this year, he allowed one run. In his last 5 2/3 innings, he's allowed 14 runs. And as Aaron Boone took him out of the game yesterday, it's very interesting that, you know, Chapman, after, you know, 3 guys get on base against him after Alonso hits the home run, you know, he kind of was going to walk off the mound head down, but Boone stopped him and said something to him, and I presume, look, you're our guy. We need you. But given the struggles he's had with his fastball command, I think that's going to be a work in progress. I mean, we do wonder, you know, is Chapman one of those guys who maybe he didn't weaponize the sticky stuff, but maybe he needed it to help control his fastball.
ESPN MLB insider Buster Olney joining us on the Goodyear Hotline, Chris Carlin. So when you look forward and we get past that Red Sox series, are the Yankees going to be sellers? And if so, to what level will they be sellers?
Yeah, and that's a great question because it's easy for, you know, knuckleheads like me to sit here and say, well, they don't have a chance. According to FanGraphs, they have a 6% chance of making the postseason, and it makes sense that they would be sellers. Here's the thing. When you look at their roster and what would potentially be available, there's not a lot there to market in season, right? The Chicago Cubs, if they turn out to be sellers, they're going to be like a one-stop shop for all contenders. They're going to have tons of people on Craig Kimbrell. They'll have people on Chris Bryant, like the Mets. You know, they'll have people on Javier Baez and on Anthony Rizzo. With the Yankees, there's not necessarily a lot of stuff that they can be out there marketing. Yeah, Joel Sherman wrote a really interesting column. I think it was about 10 days ago about the idea of the Yankees marketing Aaron Judge. General managers say all the time that if you're going to market a premium position player, more than a year before free agency, the best time to trade that player is in the winter time. And that probably, you know, would be the best time for the Yankees to seriously explore that. If they wind up, you know, being sellers, I'm sure Brian Cashman will indicate to other teams, look, we're open to offers. And maybe he would say we're open to offers even on Aaron Judge. But it's hard to imagine some team stepping up in a big way in the middle of a regular season and giving them what they want when they would have the opportunity to talk to more teams in wintertime.
Buster, where do we stand right now as we flip to some other topics with MLB, Trevor Bauer, and the woman who has made accusations against him?
Yeah, and it's going to be an important 4 days here. Major League Baseball intends to speak with that woman. They've been in contact with her lawyer. We'll see if that takes place. There have been times in the past when they've had a similar situation, and in the end, the conversation hasn't taken place. So we'll see. They're looking into Trevor Bauer's history, you know, to see if there have been other incidents like this. They would really like to talk to Trevor Bauer at some point, but, you know, Chris, he's under criminal investigation, and anything that he says to Major League Baseball would be subject to subpoena. So there's it would seem to be a decent chance that he would bypass that conversation. And, you know, last Friday when they put him on administrative leave, I think that was just a stopgap to try to address it in the moment. We've seen time and again with other players when they have pending legal situations that 7-day administrative leave turns out to be indefinite. And they extend it and it goes on a really long time before there's resolution. If I'm just speculating based on the information in front of us, I think it's going to be a long time before Trevor Bauer pitches the big leagues again.
That's Buster Olney from earlier today on Greeny, and it should be, because there's absolutely no reason whatsoever for Trevor Bauer to pitch again until this whole situation is completely straightened out. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Are the Yankees worth saving at this point? Is their season worth saving when you factor in everything that needs to be done in order to save them? We're taking your calls at 888-729-3776. On the Bauer front, I was so glad Bart and I spent time on it on Friday discussing the fact that he had not been placed on administrative leave and the Dodgers were planning on him pitching on Sunday, and right at the end of the show, he was put on administrative leave. There is absolutely no reason whatsoever for Trevor Bauer to be pitching in the big leagues right now when you see what those accusations are. And this is not judge, jury, and executioner here. This is the case of any person in America, truly, that has a job where if they were in a similar situation and they were facing that kind of investigation and potentially charges coming their way where they would be placed on leave until their situation was straightened out, Bauer is going to be paid during that time. You wouldn't expect that to change. And so, with that being the case, they've done the right thing here. They've done the absolute right thing here. Now, it goes a little further. And this was Dodgers pitching great Dave Stewart. And think about this for a second. Dave Stewart, who was a staple of the Dodgers in the late 70s and early 80s, when Stewart informed the Dodgers that he's not going to attend the July 25th celebration of the 40th World Series championship anniversary, the 1981 championship, because the Dodgers have refused to discipline Trevor Bauer, he said that he received an email that said the team and the Players Association support the player until he's guilty. Dave Stewart was upset about the fact that the Dodgers had not disciplined him. And here's what Stewart had to say in response to that. The organization isn't what it was when we came through. The Dodgers organization that I grew up in under the O'Malley family would never stand for that. The Dodgers should have stepped up in that situation, and they didn't. You've got to have character standards. Now, remember, Stewart was only a rookie on the 81 World Series team, which hardly seems possible, but it is 100% true. And so I understand where Stewart's coming from, and this is in no way supporting Trevor Bauer. I don't think, as Buster said, we're going to be seeing him anytime soon, nor should we. But it's awfully hard for a team to just completely cut loose a player at that point when nothing legally has been ironed out. What they can do is have him away from the team. And that is something that should be the case, because if you're the Dodgers and you're trying to get away from this story and you're trying to win a division and win another championship, you want no part of this. So Dave has been so upset with the Dodgers, even with the administrative leave, just wanting them to deal with this in a much better way. He even said, I guess that he tweeted in all caps, he broke the unwritten rule on how you should treat women. You read the details of that story, it's flat out sickening. And you can understand why Dave Stewart feels the way that he does. Right now, the Dodgers can only do what they can do. And in my opinion, they did the wrong thing by waiting and letting baseball do it. You have to have a certain standard, as Stewart's talking about there. It's 100% true. If it's your organization, don't you have to step back and say, stay away from the team? At the very least, stay away from the team. And they waited for Major League Baseball to do that because baseball had initially advised them to let him pitch. Sometimes it's just easy. You don't always have to take the hard road to get to doing the right thing. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Does Tom Brady have anything on Joey Chestnut? That in just moments. Right now, though, get more out of your summer with savings on innovative washers and dryers during the 4th of July savings event at the Home Depot. Give your laundry room an upgrade with big savings in-store and online on top appliances. Right now, you'll save a bundle. Celebrate summer with the 4th of July savings event at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only while supplies last. Free delivery on purchases of $396 or more, valid through July 14th. What is left for a champion to accomplish? We discuss next. Chris Carlin in for Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Chris Carlin in for Bart and Hahn today. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Joey Chestnut, like, what's left, King? What's left for you to prove? I said this earlier. It's almost like Hans Gruber in Die Hard. For Alexander wept, there were no more worlds to conquer. 76 hot dogs. 76. What's left? I mean, he is clearly the most dominant in the sport. And dare I say, the most dominant athlete we have ever seen. And yes, yes, I said athlete. That is exactly what I said. You try eating that many hot dogs and you will understand just how athletic of a feat that is. I can't ever get enough. And listen, is it the prettiest thing to look at? It's not. There's a reason why Joey Chestnut is sponsored by Bounty, okay? There should be a reason. But when you watch it and you see Jason Fitz and Mike Jr. doing a tremendous job on that yesterday, can't get enough. It feels like America. And they have done a great job of expanding that year after year. Great crowds year after year in Coney Island. They brought it inside the stadium there where the Brooklyn Cyclones play. It is a great, great event. And now, I mean, like, Joey Chestnut, you going to put Brady up against him? I don't know about that. You going to put Jordan up against him? I don't know about that. Ryan Matlick, how many championships is that now for Joey Chestnut?
That would be a lot, Chris.
A lot.
It's
yes.
A lot.
Yes. And so that is the new determining factor of all-time greatness and dominance. How many championships? A lot. And so I can't put anybody else on that level. I just can't do it.
Can you be great if you've never been challenged, though?
Well, I mean, all right, are we now putting an asterisk by Joey Chestnut? I mean, it was Kobayashi early, and then he started dabbling in performance-enhancing drugs. There was some issue there with him, right? I mean, there were challenges early, but what's a man supposed to do when you're dominant in your particular sport and nobody is up to your level? He is the UConn women's basketball team of competitive eating. Although the last couple of years, they haven't gotten it done. I haven't seen the person yet that is able to get over the hump. Is there anybody? And to me, listen, we only get to see it once or twice a year in terms of an actual event, and this one in particular, the one time a year. But it is one of the best Ocho sports that there is that you will see on ESPN or ESPN2 during the summer, correct? Do we put it at that level, Ryan?
100%. There's a lot of great stuff up there when you're watching during the summer days. Spike ball, cornhole, drone racing. Don't know if you've ever caught that, Chris, but the hot dog eating contest stands alone.
Yeah, I'm a lawnmower racing guy myself. What is the best Ocho sport? We'll take your calls soon. But next, we preview the NBA Finals. Quentin Richardson, join us on Bart and Hahn next.